Blog Talk Radio.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words. Love is felt most.
Love is felt most
when it's genuine.
I had my share
of love abuse.
Abuse
manipulated. And its strength.
Misused. And I can't help
but to give God glory. When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell.
And I know
you favored me because my enemies, they did try, but they couldn't triumph over me. Yes, they did try, but it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny.
Good evening, podcast family. This is a Heart to Heart podcast, the Messenger Edition. With co-producers Ken and Lon Hart. This is Beth Corner. And again, welcome, podcast family. And thank you for tuning in. And next, we will be having a conversation with the messenger, Lon Hart.
Good evening and welcome to our half an hour of conversation. I just want to say once again that God talks to everyone all the time. But the question is not to whom does God talk, but who listens. And we got to know that we try to speak to God and God to you, and we are immediately constricted by the unbelievable limitation of words. For this reason, God does not communicate by words alone. In fact, rarely do God do so. By most common form, God's most common form of communication is through feeling. Feeling is the language of the soul. If you want to know what's true for you about something, look to how you feel about it. Feelings are sometimes difficult to discover and often even more difficult to acknowledge. Yet, hidden in your deepest feeling is your highest truth. The trick is to get to those feelings. God also communicates with thought. Thought and feelings are not the same, although they can occur at the same time. In communicating with thoughts, God often uses images and pictures. For this reason, thoughts are more effective than mere words as tools of communication. In addition to feelings and thoughts, God also used the vehicle of experience as a grand communicator. And finally, when feelings and thoughts and experience all fail, God uses words. Words are really the least effective communicator. They are most open to misinterpretation, most often misunderstood. And why is that? It is because of what words are. Words are mere utterances, noises that stand for feelings, thoughts, and experience. They are symbols, signs, and signals. They are not truth. They are not the real thing. Words may help you understand something. Experience allows you to know. Yet there are some things you cannot experience. So God has given you other tools of knowing, and these are called feelings, and so too thoughts. Now, the supreme irony here is that you have all placed so much importance on the Word of God and so little on the experience. In fact, you place so little value on the experience that when what you experience of God differs from what you heard of God, you automatically discard the experience and own the words, when it should be just the other way around. Your experience and your feelings about a thing represent what you factually and intuitively know about that thing. Words can only seek to symbolize what you know and can often confuse what you know. Then, these then are the tools which God communicates. Yet, they are not the method for not all feelings, not all thoughts, not all experience, and not all words are from God. Many words have been uttered by others in God's name. Many thoughts and many feelings have been sponsored by causes not of God's direct creation. Many experiences result from these. The challenge is one of discernment. The difficulty in knowing the difference between the message from God and data from another source. Dissemination is a simple matter with the application of a basic rule. God is always your highest thought, clearest word, your grandest feeling. Anything less is from another source. Now, I'm going to repeat that again. God's is always your highest thought, your clearest word, and your grandest feeling. Anything less is from another source. Now, the task of the differentiate becomes easy. For it should not be difficult even for the beginning student to identify the highest, the clearest, and the grandest. Yet, I will give you these guidelines. The highest is always that thought which contains joy. The clearest words are those words which contain truth. The grandest feeling is that feeling which you call love. Joy, truth, and love. These three are interchangeable, and one always leads to the other. It matters not in which order they are placed. These guidelines determine which messages are God's and which have come from another source. The only question remaining is whether God's message will be heeded. Most of God's messages are not. Some, because they seem too good to be true. Others, because they seem too difficult to follow. Many, because they are simply misunderstood. Most, because they are not received. God's most powerful message is experience. And even this you ignore, especially this you ignore. The world would not be in its present condition were we to have simply listened to your experience. The result of you not listening to your experience is that you keep reliving it over and over again. For God's purpose will not be thwarted, nor will God's will be ignored. You get the message sooner or later. God will not force you to. However, God never coerces you. For God has given you a free will, the power to do as you choose. And God would never take that away from you, ever. And so God will continue sending you the same message over and over again throughout the millenniums and to whatever corner of the universe you occupy. Endlessly will God send you God's message until you have received them and held them close and called them your own. God's message will come in 100 forms at 1,000 moments across 1,000,000 years. You cannot miss them if you truly listen. You cannot ignore them once truly heard. Thus will honest communication begin in earnest. For in the past, you have only talked to God, praying to God, interceding with God, beseeching God. Yet now you can talk back to God even as you are doing here. Well, how can I know this communication is from God? How do I know this is not my own imagination? What would be the difference? Do you not see that God could just as easily work through your imagination as anything else? God will bring you the exact right thought, words, or feelings at any given moment, suited precisely to the purpose at hand, using one device or several. You will know these are from God because you, of your own accord, have never spoken so clearly. Have you already spoken so clearly on these questions? You would not be asking them. Then you say, to whom does God communicate? Are there special people? Are there special times? All people are special, and all moments are golden. There is no person, and there is no time one more special than the other. Many people choose to believe that God communicates in special ways and only with special people. This removes the masses of people from responsibility for hearing God's message, much less receiving it, which is another matter, and allow them to take someone else's word for everything. You don't have to listen to God, for you already decided that others have heard from God and are on every subject, and you have to listen to them. By listening to what other people think they heard God say, you don't have to think at all. This is the biggest reason for most people turning from God's message on a personal level. If you acknowledge that you are receiving God's message directly, then you are responsible for interpreting them. It is far safer and much easier to accept the interpretations of others, even others who have lived 2,000 years ago, than seek to interpret the message you may very well be receiving at this moment now. Yet, God invites you to a new form of communication with God, a two-way communication. In truth, it is you who have invited God. For God has come to you in this form right now in answer to your call. Really? Then why do some people take Christ, for example? See, you hear more of your communication than others. Because some people are willing to actually listen. They are willing to hear, and they are willing to remain open to the communication even when it seems scary or crazy or downright wrong. Wait, you're trying to, am I saying that you should listen to God even when what's being said seems wrong? Especially when it seems wrong. If you think you're right about everything, who needs to talk with God? Go ahead and act on all that you know, but notice that you've been doing that since time began, and look at what shape the world is in. Clearly, you've missed something. Obviously, there is something you don't understand. That which you do understand must seem right to you, because right is a term you use to designate something with which you agree. What you've missed will therefore first appear to be wrong. The only way to move forward on this is to ask yourself, what would happen if everything I thought was wrong was actually right? Every great scientist knows about this. When what a scientist does is not working, a scientist sets aside all the assumptions and start over. All great discoveries have been made with a willingness and ability to not be right. And that's what's needed here. You cannot know God until you stop telling yourself that you already know God. You cannot hear God until you stop thinking you've already heard God. God cannot tell you God's truth until you stop telling God yours. By what truth about God comes from? I'm sorry, but my truth about God comes from God. Says who? Others. What others? Leaders, ministers, rabbis, priests, books, the Bible, for heaven's sakes. Those are not authoritative sources. They aren't. No. Listen to your feelings. Listen to your highest thoughts. Listen to your experience. Whatever any one of those differ from what you've been told by your teacher or read in your books, forget the words. Words are the least reliable purveyor of truth. Then you say, why is it that God does not reveal itself? If there really is a God, and God, why do you not reveal yourself in a way that we can all understand? And God has done so over and over. To be truthful with you, God is doing so again right now. Not in an incontrovertible way, in a way no man could deny. What way would that be? In what form or shape would you have God appear? If the form or shape that you actually have, that would be impossible. For God has no form or shape you understand. God could adopt the form or shape that you could understand, but then everyone would assume that what they've seen is one only form and shape of God, rather than a form or shape of God, one of many. People believe that God, what they see God as, rather than what they do not see. But God is the great unseen, not what God caused God's self to be in any particular moment. In a sense, God is what God is not. It is from the am-notness that God comes, and to it, God always returns. Yet, when God comes in one particular form or another, a form in which God thinks people can understand him, people assign God that form forever. And should God come in any other form to any other people, the first did not appear to the second, because God did not look to the second as God did to the first, nor say the same thing. How could it have been God? You see, then, it matters not in what form or in what manner God reveals God's self. Whatever manner God chooses and whatever form God takes, none will be incomparable. But if you did something that would evidence the truth of who you are beyond doubt or question, there are still those who would say it is of the devil or simply someone's imagination or any cause other than God. If God revealed God's self as God Almighty, King of heaven and earth, and moved mountains to prove it, there are those who would say it must have been Satan. And such it is as it should be, for God does not reveal God's self to God's self from or through outward observations, but through inward experience. And when inward experience has revealed God's self, observation is not necessary. And if outward observation is necessary, inward experience is not possible. And so what I just said there is to let you know that once you know God on the inside, you don't need to see, per se, God on the outside. Why? Because God is within you. And then once you see God on the inside, then you begin to see everything as God, even that which we call bad. Because we have to understand, because we call it bad, does not make it bad. It just makes it different than what we expect. And there are a lot of things that we expect, or a lot of things that we call good that other people call bad. But when you start seeing it just as an experience rather than good or bad, then you begin to see the God in it. If then revelation is requested, it cannot be had. For the act of asking is a statement that it is not there, that nothing of God is now being revealed. Such a statement produces the experience. For your thoughts about something is creative, and your word is productive, and your thoughts and your words together are magnificently effect in giving birth to your reality. Therefore shall you experience that God is not now revealed, for if God were, you would not ask God to be. Now, does that mean I cannot ask for anything I want? Are you saying that prayer for something actually pushes it away from us? This is a question which has been asked throughout the ages and has been answered whenever it has been asked. Yet, you have not heard the answer or will not believe it. The question is answered again in today's terms and today's language. You will not have that for which you ask, nor can you have anything you want. This is because, I need you to hear me on this, you cannot have that for which you ask, nor can you have anything you want. This is because your very request is a statement of lack, and your saying you want a thing only works to produce that precise experience wanting in your reality. And what that is saying is, what I'm trying to get you to understand is, when you say, I want something, what happens is the universe gives you the feeling of wanting. The correct prayer is therefore never a prayer of supplication, but a prayer of gratitude. When you thank God in advance for that which you choose to experience in your reality, you in effect acknowledge that it is there in effect. Thank powerful statement to God, affirmation that even before you ask, God has answered. Therefore, never supplicate, but appreciate. But, well, what if I'm grateful to God in advance for something and it never shows up? That could lead to disillusionment and bitterness. Gratitude cannot be used as a tool with which to manipulate God, a device with which to fool the universe. You cannot lie to yourself. Your mind knows the truth of your thoughts. If you are saying, thank you, God, for such and such, all the while being very clear that it isn't there in your present reality, you can't expect God to be less clear than you and so produce it for you. God knows what you know, and what you know is what appears as your reality. But then you say, well, how can I be truly grateful for something I know is not there? If you have faith, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall move mountains. You come to know it is there because God said it is there. Because God has said that even before you ask, I shall have answered. Because God said and have said to you in every conceivable way, through every teacher you can name, that whatsoever you shall choose, choose it in my name, and it shall be. But so many people say that their prayers have gone unanswered. No prayer, And a prayer is nothing more than a fervent statement of what is so goes unanswered. Every prayer, every thought, every statement, every feeling is creative. To the degree that it is firmly held as truth, to that truth will it be made manifest in your experience. When it is said that a prayer has not been answered, what has in actuality happened is that the most fervent held thought, word, or feeling has become operative. What you must know, and here is the secret, is that always it is the thought behind the thought, which might be called the sponsoring thought, that is the controlling thought. If therefore you beg and supplicate, there seems a much smaller chance that you will experience what you think you are choosing, because the sponsoring thought behind every supplication is that you do not now have what you wish. That sponsoring thought becomes your reality. The only sponsoring thought which could override this thought is the thought held in faith that God will grant whatever is asked without fail. Some people have such faith, but very few. The process of prayer becomes much easier when, rather than having to believe that God will always say yes to every request, one understands intuitively that the request itself is not necessary. Then the prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. It is not a request at all, but a statement of gratitude for what is so. Gratitude for what is so. Now, tonight, I'm going to leave that with you, and I hope that you have the opportunity to just let that sink in. Let that sink in. Because for so many years, we feel that we have to pray. We have to pray and ask God for this and that. But we've got it backwards. What we have to do is just start giving thanks. Why? Because we already know it's on its way. If you believe God to be who God is, then you know it's on its way. So stop with these long prayers asking for stuff and giving, and start giving thanks. Just think about when you say a prayer, you're asking God for something, okay, when you say that prayer. But now, don't you know God already knows that prayer? So because he already knows, as he said, before you ask, it's on its way. So instead of the long prayer of asking for something, try a long prayer of just thanking him. If you believe and you know that he is God, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Not, Lord, give me this or Lord. No, because he's already answered those prayers. If you know God to be who God is, I love you all very much. I pray that something was said that will sink down within, as they were saying, stir up that gift in you so that you can feel and see God at work. I love you all very much. Take care. Have a blessed weekend. And God willing, we'll be back again Sunday night at 8 o'clock. I love you all. Good night. Stay safe.
Thank you. Love you too. Bye, dear.
Love.